Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday night broadcast here at Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs. And we count it an honor and a privilege and a great joy to be able to come once again and have service. I want to say what a wonderful, 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 wonderful service we had this morning. And it was our in-person worship service we had this morning. So strange to have to differentiate one service to the next, but it was our in-person worship service we had this morning, and the Lord showed up this morning and manifested His presence and had many, many testimonies this morning, and God's people were testifying of His goodness, of His salvation, and just going around the room, going around the church, and everyone just many people giving their testimonies of how God had come to their lives and touched them, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful service. And then we had a wonderful altar call time. Many people responded to the invitation time, and so we stand in awe today of how the Lord showed up this morning and gave us a spiritual drink during this time of drought. So we thank you, Lord, for how you visited us this morning. And thank you for tuning in once again to our faithful Calvary members. We love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And God knows. He sees your faithfulness each and every time. And He rewards those who are faithful. And He rewards the proud doer. And so welcome to our service this evening. I do want to mention a couple folks, and I want to give an update this evening on Miss Barbara Anderson. It was confirmed today that Miss Barbara Anderson did have a stroke yesterday. It was a stroke that she had, and I believe that as of right now, she doesn't have a feeling in one of her arms. But saying that, Miss Barbara Anderson is doing some better, and the doctors are confident that they'll get her back to health speedily. But please pray for Miss Barbara Anderson. She has gone through a lot, as you know. To say the very least, she has gone through a lot. And being a caretaker for so many years, and now the after effects, the ripple effects, with so many things she's been taken care of. And so she just stands in need of your prayers. And so tonight we'll be remembering Miss Barbara. Also, church, let's remember Miss Betty Berry tonight in our prayers. She's in hospice care. And so we love Miss Betty, and we love the Clayton family, Miss Terry, Brother Allen. And so we lift them up tonight. Let's remember their health, their wellness, the whole entire family, and that the Lord would bear them up during this time and give them new grace that they have not needed before, and like the song says. And so we are praying for you guys as well during this trying time. Let's remember also Brother Harold Dolph. He was with us this morning in service, but he is approaching a doctor's visit this coming up Thursday, and where they're going to be talking about doing a procedure on his heart, and so he needs our prayers as well. And again, there's so many different people, so many different things on the horizon concerning our people here at Calvary. Let's remember one another in prayer. Let's remember our nation. Let's remember our world. It goes without saying, the pandemic. Let's be smart, but let's not live in fear. And let's just be our brother's keeper. Let's remember one another in prayer. Let's pick up the phone and call and be in touch and be there to help one another and lift one another's burdens. And so let's just do that tonight. And let's bow for a word of prayer. And we have a special tonight Brother Randy's going to be singing and playing for us. We appreciate Brother Randy doing that. And then we'll bring the message that we intended on preaching this morning. But the big preacher showed up, and that's what we wanted to begin with. And so let us pray. Father, we come tonight in sweet Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. We're not being repetitive on saying those words, but we're being biblical as we say those words. Because it is no other name by which we come to you, God, other than Jesus' name. Father, we're glad that we can come to the throne room of grace, not by our own merit, but by the righteousness of Jesus. Lord, tonight we lift up, dear Lord, Miss Betty. We pray that you would alleviate her pains and be with her mind and her body. Oh God, be with Alan and Terry and the family, caretakers, Miss Cassie that helps. Lord, be, I pray, with Miss Barbara Anderson down at Piedmont, that you would strengthen her. And Lord, be with all those that help with her. Lord, be with our shut-ins, all of our shut-ins. Father, be with our widows of the church, all of them. Lord, how we're reminded, even as of late, that they're without a spouse during this time. They're all alone, and they need the love of their Heavenly Father and that touch of their Heavenly Father. Lord, tonight we lift up Brother Harold. We lift up our prayer list in its entirety, Lord, that you would be with every life, every person, every situation, Lord. Be with our world. Be with these problems of our world. Give peace, give healing, oh Lord. God, we thank you for the service this morning and how you moved in a very mighty way, how our souls are refreshed. But tonight we want to touch again. I pray that you would bless Brother Randy, bless myself, bless those that are watching. Let us, Lord, drink one more time from that spiritual cup. Let us go out to this world and be a witness in these last days. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Yes. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name, my love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise. and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong.
Amen.
Go ahead and try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, 'cause I'll come again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back.
Amen. Appreciate that song, Brother Randy. We'll say we will rise again. One blessed day. Because he has risen. And that is the very heart of Christianity, is the resurrection of Jesus. And we praise the Lord for that on this evening. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke. Luke chapter number 6 is where we're going to be for just a little while tonight. Luke chapter number 6, and I want to begin reading in verse number 12. Luke chapter number 6. In verse number 12, and I'm going to read down through verse number 16. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 12. Notice with me in verse number 12, Luke 6. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, speaking of Jesus, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, and John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. I want to stop there in verse number 16, and by way of introduction and summarization of what's taking place here, it's pretty evident what's going on, but Jesus had come down from the mountain, having had a time of prayer there, and he was choosing his apostles from among his disciples. Let me just say before we go any further that a disciple is a learner, and an apostle is a messenger. Now, there are no apostles like these 12 anymore. Seeing the risen Lord was a prerequisite. The apostles in Bible days, they had to actually see or be an eyewitness of the risen Lord. That was a prerequisite. And so there are no apostles like these 12 anymore. Nobody has seen the risen Lord. And so we see that the Lord is The very next day, he has come down from the mountain having his time in prayer, and he is now choosing his apostles from among his disciples. Look in verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, his learners, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And so Jesus had many learners following him. And so out of all of the learners, out of all of the disciples that were following him, learning of his ways, he chose 12 messengers to preach the gospel. Now, let me just say that Jesus was picking his preachers. Mark chapter number 3 and verse 14 says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. So Jesus literally at this particular time was coming down from the mountain. He had spent all night in prayer and he was calling together his disciples, and out of that group of disciples he chose 12 to be apostles, to be messengers. And he chose them, ordained them to preach and to be with him. So that's the setting that we have here. There's one particular apostle tonight that I want to talk about, and he's found in verse number 15. Notice in verse number 15, the apostle Thomas, Matthew and Thomas. Verse number 15 has the account of Thomas. I want to preach for a few moments tonight on the life of Thomas. The life of Thomas. We don't have all night to go into the ins, every jot and tittle, the ins and outs of the life of Thomas, but we have some highlights that we can hit, that we can look into in the life of Thomas. I believe tonight that as of, or in like manner, the life of Peter, a lot of people can identify in the life of Peter. A lot of people can identify in the life of Thomas. So tonight we have chosen Thomas to talk about. And so I want to mention some things about Thomas in his life that I feel will be a blessing and a help to much of us. Number one tonight, I want to look at his description. The life of Thomas, his description, and more specifically, I want to look at his name. His name. His name is Thomas. Although his name is Thomas, it was common among the Jews to have two names. Two names. A Jewish name and a Gentile name. Therefore, his Gentile Greek name was Didymus. Now his Jewish Hebrew name was Thomas, as we just stated. And so his two names, Gentile Greek name is Didymus, but then his Jewish name is Thomas. Now both names mean twin. They both mean twin. And so we have this description, Thomas, and his first name, Jewish name, Thomas, but then his Gentile name, it means Didymus. And when we take a step back and we look at both names, they mean twin. When we take a look and we read and we kind of look around and see what twin means, some people think, and some commentators say, that Thomas actually had a twin brother. But as you look into Scripture and you try to find, there's really no trace of any other brother. Other commentators say, and more specifically, they lean, and it speaks of Thomas actually having a dual personality, meaning that he is one way on one occasion and another way on another occasion. And really, this kind of bears out in Scripture because we have in certain accounts Thomas, who is devoted, as we're going to look into in a few moments. But then on other accounts, we have Thomas who's doubting. And keep in mind, he has a dual name. His Jewish name is Thomas, and then his Gentile name is Didymus. And both names means twin, and this could speak of a dual personality. One moment he's believing, the next moment he's doubting. And listen, church, could not this be a picture of the Christian life tonight? One moment we're believing the Lord, the next moment we're doubting the Lord. You know, the heart, when a person gets saved and accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, the heart gets saved. As Jeremiah says, he removes the stony heart and he gives a new heart, but the mind is not saved. And so there's a wrestle tonight in the Christian life. And so one moment we can be devoted to Jesus, and the very next moment we can be doubting Jesus. And there's a struggle tonight. There's a warfare taking place. On the other note, we can look at Thomas and his description, looking at the fact that he may have a twin brother, and not seeing a trace of this brother, if he had a brother in Scripture. Well, let's look at that for a moment, that possibility. We can't find this twin brother anywhere. Where is this twin brother? You know, if there's Thomas, but if his name means twin, both names, his Jewish name, his Gentile name, both name means twin. Where is his twin brother? Sometimes in Scripture, what you'll find is those who trust Jesus and make much of Jesus, their names are mentioned in Scripture. But those who choose the hard path in life, those persons' names are not mentioned in Scripture. They just have a generic title. For instance, the man who, the Bible says, the rich man lift up his eyes being in torment. It doesn't mention his name. It just says the rich man. Because you see, he was a man who didn't trust Jesus as his Savior. And these are just suggestions tonight when it comes to Thomas and possibly having a twin brother that's not mentioned or couldn't be found. Well, Thomas is mentioned, and his Jewish name is Thomas. His Gentile name is Didymus. Both names mean twin. And if he has a twin brother, possibly now, just figuratively speaking, suggesting maybe Thomas was the one in his family that trusted Jesus, that followed Jesus, and maybe his twin brother did not. But isn't that the way things go in life? You'll have a family where one follows Jesus and they go to church, and then the other one doesn't follow Jesus and they don't go to church. And then you start to see, and you start to see before your eyes generational sins. Things that in generations that happen. Typically those who do not follow Jesus and do not get saved, there will be these generational sins that take place. But then once someone gets saved out of that particular mold in that family that hasn't gotten saved, that generational sin curse is broken. I can remember, and I'm not pinning no roses on me or my family by no means, but in my family, on my particular side of the family, it was alcohol, it was drugs, it was high school dropouts, it was all of those things. But then one day the Lord got a hold of my brother and then got a hold of me. And now the Lord, well, back I guess when Lily was, how old were you, Lily, when you got saved? 7 years old? Got a hold of Lily. And listen, We're a devoted family to God and church, but if we loosen up on our reins of God and church, we can fall back into that. But our hands are tightly and we're firmly committed to God, and God willing, those generational sins are broken. But you see what I'm saying? Those who are committed and firmly committed to God, those things are broken. Many times in families, there's one or there is a family that's committed, and there's another one that's not. And many times those generational sins follow those who are not committed. And so we see that his description of Thomas, his Jewish name is Thomas, his Gentile name is Didymus, and both means twin. And we're just suggesting tonight, just suggesting that there may be a twin brother out there, and it may have something to do with not embracing Jesus as Savior if there is a twin brother. And Thomas did indeed embrace Jesus as Savior. But also at the same time, we're saying that he may have a dual personality. And that definitely bears out in Scripture. Let me mention a second thing about the life of Thomas. Not only his description, but we see his draft. His draft. We're in Luke chapter number 6. Notice if you would in verse number 13. Thomas in his draft. Verse number 13. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples. And look, notice this. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now, I labeled this point his draft because of this fact. The word draft here, it means to select for a certain purpose. And notice that phrase again. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. The word chose here, it means to select. Back in 1972, just stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Back in 1972, there was a military draft, and people were selected to go and represent and fight in the Vietnam War. And they were ambassadors, diplomats. They were drafted. They were selected. And so on the same token, we have the Lord drafting, selecting these 12. More in particularly, he drafted, he selected Thomas. And so we see Thomas and his draft. Guess what? It wasn't just Thomas that was drafted tonight, but you and I were drafted. The same for us. All who have been saved by God's grace have been drafted into God's service as a delegate. We are his ambassadors. We are his messengers. We have been chosen by him to share the gospel. John chapter number 15 and verse number 16 says this: Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it you. Listen to this, church. He said this in John 15, 16. That ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That we should go and bring forth fruit. And my interpretation of that is, we should be going and winning souls, but also we should be going and adding to our faith virtue, or exercising spirituality. All right? And as we're doing that, as we're making effort and bringing forth fruit, the Bible says that whatsoever we ask of the Father in my name, he'll do it. This is my question. My question is, are we bringing forth fruit? Are we exercising our spirituality? Are we winning souls? Are we exercising, are we going after holiness? Are we exercising spirituality? If we are, he says, whatever we ask, he will do it. But if we are not witnessing, if we are not bringing forth fruit of whatever kind, whatever magnitude, he will not answer our prayer. And tonight, I cannot help to think of the USA, and I cannot help to think of the church. The Bible does say that that judgment must begin at the house of God first. And if God's people, listen, I'm starting with myself. If God's people aren't getting the message out, if we're not witnessing, and yet if we're not sharing the gospel, the good news, but yet we're wanting God to heal our land, is he? I don't think so. And so John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so we see we have a divine obligation, and that is, starting with me, the pastor here, I have an obligation to go and bring forth fruit. And if I don't do that, God's not going to answer my prayer. And I want to tell you what, that's a scary thing. I have to examine my own Christian life. And think about, and so let's get back to Thomas tonight. Think about Thomas. And think about Thomas and his drafting. Jesus came down from that mountain and he said, Thomas, I want you. I pick you, Thomas, I pick you to walk with me. I pick you to talk with me. I am ordaining you and calling you. I want you to be with me and I want you to preach. But not only Thomas has that divine obligation tonight, but all who profess Christ as Christian, as being a follower, as being a Christian, has the same calling. Not only those who are drafted to go fight in Vietnam, but us as believers have that same calling. We are drafted into the army of the Lord to preach the gospel. And if we're not preaching the gospel, God is not going to heal our land. It starts with me. It starts with me. I am not going to sit here and cry over this pandemic if I'm not willing to tell people at Walmart that Jesus is coming. Now, if I'm telling people at Walmart that Jesus is coming, then I'm going to cry about this pandemic. You see, there has to be a priority, a list of priorities here. God said he would. However you want to slice it and dice it and look at it, he says he will answer when we call to him if we're bringing forth fruit. But we see the life of Thomas. We see his draft. He was drafted. He was called. Verse number 13 of Luke 6. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Drafted 12. Thomas was one of the 12. Let me mention a third thing. Not only his draft, his description, but let's look at his devotion. Turn to John 11 for a moment. John chapter number 11. I want you to notice something about Thomas's devotion tonight. In John chapter number 11, Jesus was on the most wanted list. In fact, in Judea, he was most wanted. in Judea, he was desirous by the Jews to be stoned. And in Judea, the Jews were desirous to stone Jesus. John 11, verse 7 and 8, you'll find that there, that they were desirous to stone him. And because of that very fact, the disciples were reluctant to go there. At this particular time, it was Lazarus that was there. Lazarus was sick. And then Lazarus died. John chapter number 11. Look in verse number 6 of John 11. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And so these disciples, apostles, they were reluctant. They didn't want to go into Judea because they were afraid it would cost them something. They were afraid that it would cost them their life. And listen, following Jesus does cost us something. The Jews were looking to stone Jesus, and the disciples knew that if they were with Jesus, it would cost them their life. So we see in verse number 7 and 8 that in Judea, it was a hot spot for the Lord. But I want you to notice something in verse number 16. In verse number 16, we see Thomas in his devotion. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You see his level of devotion? Now some people say, well, he was talking about Lazarus there, that we may go die with Lazarus. No. I don't feel he's referring to Lazarus. Because you see, the conversation started when they were talking about Jesus being most wanted in Judea, and his disciples were reluctant of going there. And then Thomas spoke. And Thomas said, in verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You see, tonight, church, Thomas understood that following Jesus cost him something. And Thomas was that disciple. Thomas was that apostle that was willing to pay that cost. Thomas was a devoted apostle. Thomas was that apostle that was willing to go the whole way. He was that apostle that was willing to take up his cross and deny himself and follow Jesus. We see Thomas here in his total devotion to the Lord, even death. He knew there was a cost to follow Jesus, yet he was willing to go with his Lord and die there in Judea. Oh, listen tonight, it's easy to say we'll follow Jesus. Talk is cheap. It's a whole other thing to put it in shoe leather. Because there is a cost to follow the Lord. And it's easy to say, oh, I follow Jesus. Oh, I'm a Christian. But once you go to put it in shoe leather, it's a whole other thing. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23 says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is the cost of discipleship, church. We're talking about a Savior who died a brutal death and has a costly grace. We're not talking about a cheap grace tonight. It's not a cheap grace where someone says, 1, 2, 3, pray after me, and I accept Jesus, and now I can live any way I want to. But real salvation is when you embrace the plan of salvation, and you recognize that it was costly. It was a costly plan, and you know that you can't live life any old way because of the costly plan of salvation, what it cost your Lord on the cross. It's not cheap grace tonight. There was a recent study. Recently, I read, a study was taken recently only after 11 weeks of no in-person worship. Get this, 20% of a particular church congregation who had internet access watched no other services. I mean, this was a recent study, a particular church, only after 11 weeks of no in-person worship, 20% of this particular church congregation who had internet access watched no other services. They were done. John 6:66 says this, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Listen, we're not up here tonight throwing around spiritual fists. We're not up here tonight acting like we're holier than thou. But there must be the preaching of God's word in these last days. There must be exhortation. There must be the preaching of God's word. There must be accountability. And when I see the life of Thomas, I see one who was devoted. He was willing to go all the way with Jesus, even to Judea, where Jesus was going to be stoned to death. He was willing to go. And I want to say that the Christian life, there is a cost involved. But let me mention something else tonight. Not only do we see his devotion, not only do we see his description, we see his draft, but there's something else about Thomas, and I think that we all can identify with this. We see his doubt. We see his doubt. As I said in my introduction, Thomas, he is known as probably more than devoted Thomas, doubting Thomas. Over in John chapter number 20, you'll find that Thomas is showing up a little late after Jesus had appeared to the disciples. In John chapter number 20, in verse number 19, I want you to notice, of course, this is after the resurrection. John chapter number 20, in verse number 19, "Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." I want to stop right there and ask this question. These disciples were assembled together for fear of the Jews. Where was Thomas? He was out there preaching, probably. That was my observation, since he was willing to go with Jesus to Judea. But they were assembled for fear. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Well, he wasn't there because he was probably out doing his job as an apostle. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. We see doubting Thomas tonight. We have a man here with a dual personality. We have a man in the Jewish, his name is Thomas, but then in the Greek it's Didymus, and both names means twin. But isn't that all of us tonight? On one occasion, we can be the most totally devoted Christian there is, and then right on the whim, off the cuff, in the very next moment, even, we can be doubting God. That's Thomas. That's us tonight. And Thomas said, except in verse 25, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. We're talking about a man who was chosen. He was drafted by Jesus. He walked with him. He talked with him. And yet he is doubting him. Those of you watching, I wonder if there's anyone doubting tonight. Anything that's going on in your life, and I don't know, maybe there's something you're praying about and you need God to move in your life, and God has answered prayers in the past and he's moved in your behalf in the past. You see miracles happen, things take place in your life. He's made connections. He's resolved issues. He's walked with you. He's talked with you, you, him. But now there's a situation and you just don't know what's going to happen. You're doubting. This morning in the service, many testimonies were given. Brother Ceylon and Brother Allen said they've never doubted their salvation. Brother Pat in the back said he has. And I'm like Brother Ceylon and Brother Allen. I've never doubted my salvation. I have doubted my calling. But I was thinking this when Brother Pat said that he's doubted his salvation. That when a person doubts their salvation, that is really an indicator that they are saved. Because a lost person could care less if they're saved. And so, tonight, when it comes to this area of doubt, you may be doubting your salvation. And let me just say this, if you're doubting your salvation tonight, I'm not trying to say that you're saved or not saved. But I know this, the world out there tonight that's partying, that's living it up, or this after the mighty dollar, they could care less if they're going to hell tonight. They could care less if they're saved. But a person that's genuinely saved, at times, there's a possibility of them doubting. But to me, that's an indicator that they've been saved. You may be watching tonight. You may be listening, and there may be things in your life unraveling, and you may have been walking with the Lord 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I don't know what the situation may be, and you may be like Thomas tonight. You may be doubting the Lord if he will show up. But I want you to notice something in verse number 26. Because in spite of Thomas and his doubting, the Lord shows up. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. This was totally unexpected. Totally undeserved for Thomas. Thomas did not deserve a visitation from Jesus. But because Thomas belonged to Jesus, he got the visit. Sometimes in life, we one moment we're devoted, the next moment we doubt Him. But I'm glad that His mercy is new every morning. And sometimes we find ourselves in trials, and sometimes we're on the mountain. But I'm glad it's not up to me when He visits me. When I'm good, He visits me. When I'm bad, He visits me. But I'm glad many times I'm like Thomas, and He visits me when I least expect it. Thomas didn't believe. Jesus still visited him. You may be at the brink of a nervous breakdown tonight, doubting if God even cares about you. And you may have seen miracles. You may know you're saved. You may have felt close, intimate times of fellowship with Him. But you may be like Thomas tonight and say, unless He comes to my life tonight and invades my life with multiple things I won't believe. Let me just say this. Beware, because Jesus just might be right around the corner. Verse number 26, and after 8 days again His disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Look at verse number 27. Then saith He to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I want to stop right there and say this. When Thomas was born, he was hardwired with touch. If you remember, and you go back and you read John chapter number 14 and verse number 5, Thomas, he struggled again, or previously. He wanted to know the way. And Jesus had previously told him the way. He goes on and says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And Thomas, he wanted to know where and what he was doing and going. And Jesus had previously said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas, he was wanting to know when and where and how. Listen, Thomas, he was just created and hardwired with touch. Listen, tonight we are all created differently. And Jesus does not hold that against us. Before we were created in our mother's womb, He told Jeremiah, God did that. He knew us. Being imperfect, He knew us. He fashioned us. And so the Lord, He knew Thomas, and He knew he was a doubter, but He also knew he was a devoted man. And He knew Thomas struggled in his life with wanting to know, well, what's the way, Lord? How am I going to get there? I know You just told me You're going to prepare a way, and You'll come again to receive us unto Yourself. Thomas struggled with Jesus setting up His kingdom on earth. Thomas struggled with the resurrection of Jesus, although Jesus had told him. Yet Thomas followed Him. And we get to John 20. And he struggled with the resurrected Lord. And Jesus said to him in verse 27, Thomas, give me your finger. He's right in front of him. What is that? That's Jesus being willing to meet an individual need just for Thomas. How many times in life, church, does Jesus meet an individual personal need? He goes down in verse number 29 and says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. In spite of the truth of Scripture in that principle, not seeing and believing? Jesus still said, touch me to believe. It was a personalized experience. How many times in life do we go from devoted to doubting? Jesus comes along and he's personal. He's our shepherd. He's our friend. We see Thomas in his doubt here. He showed up. He told Thomas, reach hither thy finger, verse 27. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and that thrust it to my side. Be not faithful, but believing. Verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Enough said. Thomas received what he needed. And the Lord will do the same thing for you and I. Tonight, the life of Thomas, it can't be wrapped up in one sitting. Character studies really, really help, I think. They help because they kind of bring us all together. Sometimes we think that in the Bible, the disciples, apostles, the patriarchs, there are all these big shots. And but you know, tonight we're really all on the same grounds. Of course, Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas, but we ought not to be so hard on Thomas because he's been devoted in his life. There's a lot of traces of devotion, I'm sure, in your life, mingled in with some doubt. There is mine. I wonder tonight, as we just give a virtual invitation, if anybody would just bow and ask the Lord on this Sunday night, just help be more devoted and less doubting. Let me say this before we pray. One of the Gospels, man says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe that we're there a lot of times in life. We are in between believing and unbelieving. Father, take the message and apply it to the heart that needs it the most, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.